It's a beautiful song. Thank you so much, CFX. This is the first Sunday of Advent, and as you can see, we've lit the first candle of Advent. Each week we'll light a different one. The candle in the middle is, the candle we'll put in the middle is white, and that will represent the Christ child. Let me remind you to take a look at our schedule for Christmas Eve services. You know that we have more than one, and we have overflow services from the sanctuary, and services will be here for the overflow in the sanctuary. I won't announce all those times, but they're listed in the bulletin and as well as the newsletter and on our website. The important thing about this time of the year is there are people who would probably come to church if you'd invite them. People are more apt to come to church this time of the year than any other time of the year. This might be a year that could make a difference in someone's life. You never know. Several years ago, a man and his wife came to the Christmas Eve service. They hadn't been to church in many, many, many years. And since then, they joined the church. They're very active. And they still remember to this day the message they heard on that Christmas Eve service. But it takes an unselfish people to grow a church, because it means you may have to give up your seat for someone who's a guest. And so if you would like to go to a later service where there's plenty of room, 11 p.m. would be a good choice. But let me just encourage you, first of all, to invite others and to come yourself. Well, the scripture is from the second chapter of Luke, verses 22 through 40. It's a little bit different in that we're actually going to have a scripture having to do with Jesus after he's already born. But you'll see why in just a few moments that we're starting here. So hear the word of the Lord. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they, meaning Mary and Joseph, brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he will not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child of Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. And at that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We're beginning the Advent series for all people. You know, in the Christmas story, the angel appears before the shepherds and says, "Do not fear, for I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people." And today's message has to do with good news for everyone, including the elderly. Those who are older and have aged in life. those persons receive good news, especially. You know, in our society, sometimes if you're not young, you're not really included. We do a lot to stay young, look young, and we dread growing older. It's not like it was in biblical times when it was an honor to grow older, to have gray hair, and to be distinguished because of your gray hair. It's a little bit different. And sometimes you may find a pink slip in your mailbox saying, well, you know, you're older now. We thought we would reduce in rank or reduce in employment, and you're one of the first we'll let go. But however you want to take a look at it, the elderly many times are set aside. And they stay there, remaining there. But in the Bible, you'll see something different. For God does not set aside his people as if he's putting them on the sidelines. Rather, he sets apart his people. And especially the elderly. God seems to have an amazing way of picking older folks. And he sets them apart to be used for a special purpose in the world. Matter of fact, Abraham and Sarah were 100 years old and 90 years old. And God says, I'm going to start building a family that will bless the families of the world. And I'm starting with you. And Abraham and Sarah goes, do you need glasses? You know what? God does things like that. So everybody will say, only a God can do something like that. You see, God has a special way of setting people apart. And look in the Bible who he sets apart. Moses was 80 years old before he was called to be a leader of his people, that they might be brought out of slavery. 80 years old. You know, he couldn't get a job, but God had something for him to do. Isn't that amazing? And then Caleb. I love Caleb. You know, Caleb was, he could have retired. You know, they've done a great job. They're out of bondage. They're in this new land. Caleb, you know, was one of the spies of the land. He was the one who said, we can possess the land. And so they did. But in his latter years, he said, you know, I still got dreams. I'm 85 years old and I still got dreams. You see that hill over there? I saw that hill when I was a youngin', and I tell you what, I want to possess that hill, and I'm going to take that hill. And God used him. God sets apart older people for special purposes in his story. And when you see the coming of Jesus, notice whom God chooses. Well, by this time in the story, he's already chosen Zechariah and Elizabeth. And they're older people. They thought they'd never have children, and guess what? You want to hear God laugh, you tell him what your plans are, you know? And they have a child, and their child's John the Baptist, who prepare the way for Jesus. And so in the very own story today that you hear, we have a picture of an elderly couple. We have a picture of Simeon, an elderly man, who had longed for the day when he would see God's promised Messiah. He had longed for the day when he would see the fulfillment of God's promise. And especially because God had promised him that he would not die until he saw it. And so he was a good example of someone living in the Advent season. He was expecting it. He was waiting. He was anticipating. And there he was. He lived a life of faithfulness that was sustained only by hope in God. And then, I wish I could reenact this scene, but I want you to imagine it. There's this young couple, they brought this little baby to be, you know, presented before the Lord, and this elderly man comes over and says, excuse me, please. Takes the little baby, holds the baby up, looks into the face of this baby and sees the face of God, the promised Messiah. And at that moment, he is totally at peace in his soul. And do you know what he says? He says, mine eyes have now seen thy salvation. Your servant may now be dismissed in peace. Wow. you know, that's got to be, I'm sure there is a painting somewhere of that. And that would be something beautiful just to contemplate. The fulfillment of God's promise. And here this elderly man holding a baby and looking into the face of this baby and seeing the face of God. This elderly man. And then we hear about this elderly lady. Now, people have calculated she was probably about 84. You know, you have to do a lot of, you know, looking around at things and so forth. But here's the important thing. Do you know that this lady was always in the temple? She had been a widow most of her life. And she was always in the temple worshiping and praying. No one probably, we would have never known that. We would have never known that apart from the fact that she was there the day the couple, young couple, brought in a baby to be presented to the Lord, and she too saw the baby. Now this is interesting. And here's what I think. You have a young couple who are coming in with their little child that they're presenting to the Lord, and they're still trying to figure things out. First of all, you better try to figure things out if you got a little child, you know. They don't come with instructions. But they don't really know what everything means. They've heard incredible news, but they're young. But you have these older people who have lived many years with God's promise and have seen God's faithfulness. And they have a maturity of years, and they understand far more than a young person could. You know, I heard Lou Holtz give a commencement speech through YouTube to a Catholic school. And, you know, here, I think at that time he was about 78. You know what I'm talking about? And so he's speaking to 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds. And he said, "Now, I just want to let y'all know that I've been 18 before, but you've never been 78. You see, these elderly people, they bring life's experiences. They bring faith maturity. They understand far greater than anybody else would. Now I think about this story, and I think about it in terms of this theme for this Advent season, good news for all persons today, good news for the old. And here are the takeaways. Here are the things I think the Lord wants me to take away from this story. Perhaps this is what the Lord would like for you to take away from this story. Good news is for every person, every living, breathing person on the place of this planet. It's good news for everyone, including the elderly. Whether they're in good health or bad health, whether they know who they are or don't know who they are, and wherever they are in life, the good news today is especially for you. If you're older and beginning to wonder about your years, I'll turn 65 this year. I guess I'm included in this, aren't I? Well, this is good news for me. So that's the first thing. Because God doesn't set us aside, He sets us apart. The second thing is we need to take another look at how we view and how we treat the elderly. The Bible calls us to honor and respect elderly people. And the church teaches us this. We are a community that makes room for all persons. And we make room within our community of faith, within our body of fellowship. We make room for little children, sure. But we make room especially for the elderly. We don't want them to feel forgotten. We want them to feel included. That's why we have a ministry to insiders. That's why we have a ministry to make sure that all the members of this church who are elderly feel connected to us and not forgotten. We make room for the elderly. And we realize that we need to share this good news with elderly people. They may or may not have heard it during their lifetime, but it's never too late to be recipients of good news and to know that you're God's child and that in Him you're Your future is secure, your past is forgiven, and your present is livable because you have a Lord and a Savior of this day. There's older people, there's elderly people that need to hear the good news. And we must share the good news with elderly people. And then this, and I think this is important. We need to learn from our elders. They've had experiences we've never had. They've lived through the Depression. They lived through hard times. They have been faithful. They remind me of Simeon and Anna. They know they've experienced far more than I've experienced. And I could probably benefit by having a Simeon and an Anna in my life. That could be like a mother or a grandparent to me that I could learn from, because they could teach me something. Do you have a Simeon you could go to? Do you have an Anna in your life you could go to? You know, we can learn from the elderly. There's so much benefit that we could receive by being in relationship and ministry to the elderly. I believe it was back in 1996. If that's true, that would have been about 20 years ago. My, how time has passed. In 1994, my mother had a stroke, and she had another stroke and another stroke, and she wound up from going from assisted living to the Alzheimer's unit, because though she did not have Alzheimer's, she had significant dementia and lost her memory. It was very tough for me to visit my own mother in a place like that, but on this particular Christmas, I thought, well, you know what, I'm going to try something different, and so I did. I rented a Santa Claus suit. It was during Advent. I rented a Santa Claus suit, and back then I didn't have to put any pillows in my suit. I was filling it out pretty good. And I dressed up and everything, and I went over there, and you go in, you have to have the secret number to get in there. They knew me, but they didn't know I was Santa Claus. But let me tell you, Santa Claus shows up, they'll let you in. They sure will. And so they let me in, and I'm going down the hall. He said, Santa Claus, Santa Claus, come here, come here, come here, Santa Claus, Santa Claus, come here. And I didn't ask him to sit on my lap or anything. But you know, it was amazing to see that place come alive a little bit. And then while I was there, I had my guitar and I sang a Christmas carol. And people sang along with me and they worshiped. And then I told the Christmas story. And then the angel stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for see, I'm bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Lord. At that moment, you could hear a pin drop in the memory care, because they were listening to hear good news. And if only for a moment they experienced clarity of mind, that was enough for them to know that they were not alone, that God was in that place. And when they began to experience God's presence, I came away with an assurance that God is present everywhere. He is present even in a memory unit. Came away with a blessing that should I grow older, I need not fear whether I'll be forgotten by God or by God's people. Because you see, God has told us we don't set them aside, we set them apart. Those are my takeaways. Well, what are your takeaways? Be mindful as we go through the Advent season of the elderly people you'll come across in your life. Be kind to them, respect them, share the good news with them, and try to learn something from them, and you'll be amazed. Now, the invitation for prayer is just simply this. Advent is a time where we wait But it doesn't mean that we're not doing anything. We worship while we're waiting. We pray while we're waiting. We serve while we're waiting. And I'd like to pray for you that this Advent season may be spent well. And if you have a particular need that you'd like for Polly or I to pray for, we'll be glad to do that. Let us stand.